Thank you, Joe and team. It's good to be here with you online this morning. I will share with you, being online is difficult. I'm like you. I look forward to seeing faces and being around different people, but I'd love for you to journey with me this morning. As we think about people that were not around, I'd love you to think this way. Who are the people that have been around in the past in your life? Who are some people who have spoken into your life? Who are some people have influenced your ways in life? For me, as a kid, I grew up really living all over the world a little bit. My dad was in the Navy, so every few years we would travel. As my dad retired, he retired in Memphis, Tennessee. And as he retired in Memphis, Tennessee, we were part of a community of faith called Woodstock Baptist Church, a neat little community of faith in the forest of Shelby Forest State Park. While I was there at Woodstock Baptist Church, there's two individuals that stand out to me. One by the name of Tobias K. Hayes. I mean, Tobias stands out because of the name Tobias, but I'll never forget Tobias, Toby as we called him, used to spend time with myself and an individual by the name of Mark. Mark and Toby and I would spend Sunday evenings just chatting through the scripture, reading through and processing through different books. I can still remember my junior and senior year in high school, us weaving through a book called More Than a Carpenter. I reflect back sometimes on those days with Toby, those days with Mark. I reflect back to heading out to get something to eat. This sounds a little scary and sounds a little old, but it's okay. At a restaurant called Shoney's, I can remember going to get the hot fudge cake. It was so, so good. I can also remember during those days an individual named Jerry Wilkins. Jerry was the pastor at Woodstock Baptist Church. I remember one day when Jerry called. It's interesting when you get a call from a pastor, you always think, or at least I think, uh-oh, what have I done wrong? What has happened? My mind didn't go to, oh, Jerry wants to connect and he wants to spend time with me, but what has happened? He said, no, I'd love to just get together with you, play a round of golf, and just hang out. So we did. We began to do that on a continual basis. As I reflect back now, I think of those two individuals and the steps that they took to be engaged in my life. So this morning for you, I'd love you to think with me this way. How important are relationships to you? Who are the people who are and who have been vital in your life? And how did they influence you? I'd love you to reflect on it. Think about it, maybe share with those that are in the room with you, but I would even love for you to go online and say, this is an individual. If I was sitting at home this morning and Pastor Frank was sharing and Pastor Frank was asking those questions, I would put in Toby Hayes, Jerry Wilkins. I would put in my roommates and who I did life with my freshman year in college. I would put individuals that are close to me right now. We'll take a couple moments. Jot down a few of those names. Who are the people that have influenced your life and influenced the direction of your life? I ask that because the scripture that we're going to weave through this morning introduces us to a few vital, essential, unique, critical relationships. The passage that we're going to weave into this morning intertwines stories together to show how their relationships with each other, with the one true God through Christ, were vital in the movement of God. They're in our relationships are the same. So if you have your Bibles this morning, open up the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18. If you don't have your Bibles, grab your phone, flip that open, or we're going to be putting them on the screen so you can just journey with us. One of the things over the last few years for me in reading Scripture is learning to read Scripture over and over and over and over again. We're not going to do that this morning, but I'd love you to think about that. We'll read this passage one time. Healthiness is when you read it twice, and even great growth happens as you read through a passage three times. Let's journey together for the first read. The passage goes like this. Acts chapter 18. Now think about relationships. The one true God in Christ as we read this passage. Now there was a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took Apollos aside and explained to him the way of the Lord more accurately. And then when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to other disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. This is an amazing chapter, passage of scripture within chapter 18. It's a passage that if you've been journeying with us at Nashville First or the Fellowship on Broadway, that we looked at a little more uniquely last fall. But I'd love us to journey with it again today. There's an individual in there by the name of Apollos. We read about Apollos throughout the scripture, and you'll see him here in Acts 18, but a few times throughout the New Testament, about eight unique times. As we read this passage, there's a few characteristics about Apollos you'll see. One is that he knew the Old Testament. He was studied in them. Therein someone must have instructed them. Also, he seemed to have great zeal, great passionate zeal within his life. He was also a strong teacher and communicator. The knowledge of the Old Testament also might have helped him to understand that Jesus was clearly the Messiah. A few of Apollos' characteristics. So the question for you this morning as we look at this passage. Where do you see the thread of relationships within this passage? Because relationships are vital in the movement of God. Let's look back at the passage. You see it this way. Apollos was instructed in the ways of the Lord, so someone came alongside of them. Apollos also engaged others that he taught with specificity, with boldness, with engagement. Apollos was also teachable. We see in the scripture that Priscilla and Aquila came alongside of him to encourage him, to build him up. Priscilla and Aquila also took the step to engagement in the life of Apollos. They explained to him the ways of God, the ways of the Lord, more accurately. So there was a sense of discovering together. Let's pause right there for a minute and think about Apollos. Because as you read about Apollos, what you're going to find is he was teaching in the synagogue. So he was teaching of the Messiah. However, Apollos would have been limited in his knowledge. And when he was teaching in the synagogue, he was teaching about the Messiah from the revelation from the Old Testament and John the Baptist. He was instructed in the ways of the Old Testament, so he would have been communicating from the Old Testament that a Messiah was going to come. He was also communicating from the foundation of John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus, that Messiah was going to come. It must have been during that teaching time, though, within the synagogue, within their culture, within their context, that there was conversations concerning Jesus. Was Jesus the Messiah? There must have been conversations saying, I think he is the Messiah. There must have been conversations about the teaching of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. There must have been conversations about those that hated Jesus, that rejected Jesus. There must have been cultural conversations about Jesus' death on the cross and quite possibly how Jesus had come back to life and been resurrected. So here's the situation. Apollos is teaching in the synagogue. Priscilla and Aquila are there. They're listening in. They're paying attention to what Apollos is saying. They hear what he's saying. And they hear him teaching about Jesus from the context of the Old Testament that a Messiah was going to come. They hear him teaching from the foundation of John the Baptist that a Messiah was going to come. Apollos didn't know. He did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. So he's preaching in the synagogue. Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside because Apollos does not know. I believe as we read through this passage, we see that Priscilla and Aquila instructed Apollos. They shared with him that the Messiah that he spoke of from the Old Testament, that the Messiah that he spoke of from the foundation of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, came in human flesh. It was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. The thread of relationship is there. Then you'll see in this passage that others, the brothers as they're called, it would be a group of followers of Christ from different walks of life, encouraged Apollos. Then they wrote to other disciples on his behalf, bringing other followers of Christ into his life. Then when he traveled and journeyed, he helped, he instructed, he came alongside others in the ways of the Lord. He dealt in an apologetic sense with false teaching. And in the truth, in the foundation of that, the scriptures were foundational to him, in which he communicated that Christ was Jesus. Do you see in these few verses right here, in the life of Apollos, in the life of Priscilla and Aquila, in the life of the brothers, in the life of those that he refuted, in the life of those that he was coming alongside, how God weaves their stories together, revealing that relationships are vital. Relationships are vital to accomplishing God's purpose in the world. It was years ago, I had the opportunity to work full-time at a group called Centrifuge, or Fuge Camps. I still get that opportunity every once in a while within the summer when there are camps and events. And there was a mantra that we would say, and this was our mantra. We would say, life change takes place best in the context of relationships. It's this intense phrase that doesn't push aside the Scripture. It holds the Scripture as foundation. That doesn't push aside Christ. It holds Christ as the cornerstone. But it also weaves together our relationships and community and connecting with each other, that relationships are vital in life. You might feel that in a sense right now. Maybe you've been sheltered. Maybe you've been in quarantine. Maybe your relational rhythms are distinctly different than what they've been in the past. C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity about that. He says this, God works on us in all sorts of ways, but above all, he works on us through each other. We are carriers of Christ to each other. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. See, relationships are vital in the movement of God. The family of God is vital to our life, and we're vital in the family of God. Our lives are vital in the lives of those who don't yet know the story of God or have questions about the story of God. It's not simply about praying by yourself or reading by yourself. It's not even simply one day about coming back and sitting and gathering by yourself. It's not at all just about being online and taking in God's word by yourself. Watchman Nee in the book, The Normal Christian, says this, in Christ I have died to the old life of independence, and I have become not just an individual believer, but a member of the body of Christ. You and I and those all around the world are living life in very unique times. One friend and author, Steve Knox, says it this way. It is a strange and unique time in which we are living in. And then he says, if it feels like things are just out of joint, out of whack, like you've been uprooted, congratulations, you're normal. Everyone has to pivot. Everyone has to shift right now. Everyone. But don't confuse your displacement in life with making progress. So if you think about yourself, if we think about our community of faith, the Nashua First, and how relationships are vital, think this way. Are you just coming to services in normal life, whatever that might be? Or are you just coming online and you're not engaged in the life of community? Maybe it's time to take a step of progress. Or if you just have an individual devotion time, which is tremendous, and you're just praying and communicate with the Father by yourself a few moments a day, maybe it's time to take a step in new progress. Maybe you find yourself stuck in selfish, destructive habits. Maybe it's time to take a step into making progress. Do you struggle developing relational closeness with the Father? Do you struggle sharing the story of God with other people? It may be because you're trying to do it alone. Maybe it's time to take a step into making progress. Within my story, Tobias K. Hayes, Jerry Wilkins were instrumental in coming alongside of me. We dug into God's Word together. We prayed together. We moved each other to obedience in the Lord. We asked questions together. We lamented together. We prayed together. As I look back now, I see spiritual encouragement and motivation that came from our interaction with each other. Just this morning, I was going through an array of names. If you're in fellowship in Broadway last fall, I shared about, 30 names of people who were instrumental in my life over the years. And I'm just blown away by God's goodness and grace. As I begin to think about all those individuals, what I realized were, it wasn't that a lot of them took a step toward me intentionally, but I took a step toward them as well. One of those individuals was a friend by the name of Joe Palmer. I can remember in 1991 that Joe took a chance on me. And took a chance and said, hey, we would love to come to this camp setting and begin to communicate God's Word as our camp pastor. At that point in time, I never really shared or spoke outside of a small Bible study time, and that was great as well. But I remember them taking a step into my life. And no, Nashville First, community and friends, that wasn't a norm for my life. See, my norm was decisively different than that. I don't know what your high school career is like, but in my high school time, we had this unique thing called a yearbook. And in your senior year, they would have an array of individuals on there that everybody had voted for specific positions, such as the most talented, the wittiest, most likely to succeed, most likely to get into trouble. All those would have been in there, and you'd look and go, yeah, that's who they were. This is who they were. Yeah, that's who they are. And then students, what will happen is you'll look back in 10 years or 20 years and see if they matched up. Now, I received one of those, I don't know if it was accomplishments you would say, but one of those accomplishments when I was in high school. It wasn't best looking. It wasn't the wittiest. It wasn't most talented. It wasn't most likely to succeed. It was one that's not even grammatically correct, I believe. It was this. Most quietest. That's what it was. Myself and a friend by the name of Nancy, we were voted most quietest. You know how in the yearbook they have pictures of the couple there that get the vote? I did. Me and Nancy are there. Think about where they're taking my photo. We're in the library. We're just staring at books. We're not reading them. We're not engaging in them. We're just communicating. We're the most quietest. I was quiet. I stayed to myself a lot. I was a loner. I struggled in what it meant to walk in the ways of God and had relationships with other people. I look back at the life of Toby. I look back at the life of Jerry. I look back at the life of Joe. And I'm thankful today for those three individuals, along with an array of others coming alongside of me, helping to disciple me in the ways of God. Because relationships are vital in the movement of God. See, there's truths right here in Acts chapter 18. Not just in Acts chapter 18, but woven throughout the Scripture. I'd love you to journey with me to the book of Hebrews for a moment. And I think this will give us some practical steps today. If you said today, I find myself stuck. I'm online, but not relationally engaged. Matter of fact, I'm struggling in my walk in the ways of God. Or I have these questions about what it means for Jesus to be Lord of my life. I'd love you to think in these ways. Read this passage with me from Hebrews 10, verse 24. It's this unique passage written from a writer that we're not quite sure who. Some people do believe it was Paul. Others don't. Some people believe the writer of Hebrews might have been Apollos. We're not sure. Some people believe Priscilla and Aquila. We're not exactly sure, but we do know the words were inspired by the Holy Spirit and written for us today and them at that point in time to walk in the ways of the Father. Look at what it says in Hebrews 10:24. This is so amazing. And let us consider, once again, see the thread of relationships. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's so much within those few passages, but I like to look at four unique areas. What does it mean for relationships to be vital in the movement of God for our lives? What are some practical steps for us? How about this? How about we consider one another? Knowing the Scripture, this is so amazing. When it says consider, it really means this. Stop to look around the room. And that'll be kind of unique for me this morning. The band and all are far left and far right. There's only so far that I can look around the room. So let's think about it figuratively this morning. It means stop, look around the room, reflect, ponder, think about whose life you can enter into and engage in their life, to invest in their lives, so that you might be able to lead someone else into a more loving relationship with the Father and the depth of character within their lives. I do want to apologize to you this morning, Nashville First, students, kids, if you're out there. If you thought for some reason from our teaching or from weaving through Scripture that it was just Pastor Frank's role, it was just Pastor Joe's role, it was just your student minister's role, it was just Shannon's role, or if it was just a leader in the life of the communities of Nashville First's role to engage in your life, then we taught you wrong and we've read Scripture wrong. See, as we weave through Scripture, it's unique that it says, let's consider. We're all, as followers of Christ, to be looking around the room to see whose life we could come alongside, and there in whose life could come alongside us as well. If you want to see God make moves and works that are very vital within your life, get involved with a community of followers of Christ who can keep you motivated, grow in the ways of the Father. I know you're sheltered. I know you're in quarantine. You think, how do I do that? How do you text? How do you make a phone call? How do you write a card? How do you drop off a goodie bag? How do you post on Facebook? How do you say to somebody, can you help me understand this passage of Scripture? For us, we've got to take the steps to create margin, to create space, to allow people in our lives to move us in the ways of the Father, and for us to look around the room and see who we are going to do the same with as well. If you're not willing to get engaged in somebody's life in that way, there's an author that says an intense, precise statement. He says it this way, an isolated follower of Christ will be a defeated follower of Christ. Hebrews 10:24 again. And let us consider, let us look around the room, how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're also told in this passage not only to consider one another, but to stir up one another. It's just a unique phrase. It's not a phrase normally used in our context today. You might think about it this way. Who can I spur on in the ways of the Lord? The word in the phrase also means this. Who might I sharply confront? Or who can I irritate in a healthy way? What we're told right here is, if we don't have someone around us that will press into us, that will confront us, that will challenge the truth of God's Word in our life and the beliefs that we stand on, that we are going to struggle to grow in the ways of the Father. Now, I do understand there's this thing called individualistic freedom. I do understand that sometimes things are too personal for us. I do understand that many times we say, I'm going to decide what's right and wrong for me. I'm not going to allow anyone to be engaged in my life in that way. Then you're moving outside of the foundation, the truths of God's Word, and God's rhythms and systems for His family. Because God's families are lovers, learners, servants, their family, their missionaries. If you say, I only have the right to decide what's right and wrong for me, I only decide what truths guide my life, I decide how I do my business, I only decide where I'm going to go to college, I decide who I'm going to date, I decide who I'm going to sleep with, I decide what I'm going to do with my gifts, I decide how I'm going to spend my money. You're moving outside of God's Word. God's Word tells us to consider others, to spur one another. Verse 24. And let us consider, let us look around the room. Let us to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not only do we consider one another, not only do we stir one another up, and I know some of you after a spurring, you're like, oh, yes, we encourage one another, which means to come alongside of one another. It's not flattery here. It's not about excessive, insincere praise. It's saying, this is who you are in God. This is how you've been created. This is your identity in Christ. God has perfectly gifted you to flourish in this way. I was speaking at an event in January, and I got through with a message, and we were talking about encouragement. And I remember there were three friends in there. He said, Gary, you crushed it today. And when they said that, there was a sense of pride that built up in me, and I thought, oh, I don't want to land there. But I appreciate the encouragement. I crushed it? I mean, very seldom internally do I feel like I crushed it. Very seldom do I feel like it succeeded in what I needed to do. So there is encouragement that can come too much into our personality and identity, even though I appreciated that so much. But the encouragement should be who we are in the ways of Christ. There's a unique thing that people around me know. I love singing shows. I love competition shows. I love The Voice. I love American Idol. Matter of fact, in the quarantine, I watch The Voice Australia, The Voice Ireland, The Voice Middle East, The Voice America. I watch them all. It's almost ridiculous. But I kept thinking about, why do I love this so much? Is it I want to sing? I'd love to be able to do that. Would I love to be on the show? Probably not. And then one evening I was watching, I thought, I love when a singer or a songwriter is encouraged in their craft and they get the opportunity to continue their steps. I love when a singer or a songwriter doesn't get to continue in their steps in a show, but they're encouraged to continue doing what they're doing. Bob Goff, writer, says it this way, words can launch us. We don't need to be a dean to say words that change everything for someone. Instead, God made it so that ordinary people like you and me can launch each other with encouragement. Hebrews 10:25 says, not staying away from our worship meetings. I know you're like, wow, how do we do that today? As some habitually do, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not only do we consider one another and spur one another, not only do we encourage one another, but we get together often with one another. It means motivational interaction with Christ's followers, those who follow in the ways of Jesus on a daily basis. For some reading for you this week, you could dive into the book of Acts chapter 2 and read through and see how the early community of faith engaged together. You're going to have to be a little creative right now in how we do that. But we're not held back by creativity. Our interaction could be in a gathering, could be one-on-one, could be studying the Bible together, could be praying together, sharing what's really going on. Last week I was at a camp, which seems strange right now, but an amazing camp in Nacogdoches, Texas. There were 60, 70 students spread out in the room, social distancing with masks on as they sang in interaction. And as we dove into God's Word, I shared the phrase that I'll say on a continual basis, open up your Bibles or open up your phones. Some of the adults said, Gary, is it okay for students to open up their phones? And I say, open up their phones. Dive into the scripture on their phone. And then I normally say, let's not text, let's not go social media, let's not go here or there, unless you're sending a passage of scripture to someone, unless you're encouraging someone through that scripture. Now I was talking about within that setting, within that time. Really what I was saying is this, how do we come alongside each other? By considering who we're discipling, who we're encouraging, who we're spurring, who we're getting together with. One writer said it this way, and I saw this question this week, and I'm curious for you this morning. Do you have a set of people around you that you know are actively thinking about how you can grow in the ways of God and how they can help you grow in the ways of the Father? I'm thankful for Tobias K. Hayes. I'm thankful for Jerry Wilkins. I'm thankful for Joe Palmer. I'm thankful for friends over the course of time that didn't just bump into me, and that's okay. But they actively thought, they considered, they encouraged, they spurred me on, and they got together with me. Do you have a set of people around you like that? Are you engaged in someone else like this? David Platt, writer and pastor, gives an insightful, reflective thought when he says it this way. Somewhere along the way, we have subtly and tragically taken the costly command of Christ. This command of Christ to go baptize, to teach all the nations, and mutated that call into a comfortable call for followers of Christ to come, be baptized, and listen in one location. That was never Christ's call. For Apollos, he was instructed in the ways of the Old Testament. He spoke eloquently, boldly. In the areas he didn't understand, I love this, Priscilla and Aquila came alongside. They spurred him on. And then the brothers, other followers of Christ, encouraged him to travel, to disciple, to engage in the lives of those that did not know Christ in order that God's name might be known. Apollos was vital in the movement of God. Priscilla and Aquila, vital in the movement of God. The brothers were vital in the movement of God. I read from a pastor this week in his email that he sent to his community of faith, how he said, I really thought we were just going to have to sit for 2 or 3 weeks and then be back to gathering together. And as you wrote, my heart just became heavy. And he said, that was 18 weeks ago. But I love the next steps that he took. And in his message, he said this. How about we live simplistically? We call each other. We check in on each other. We visit each other when appropriate and possible. We dive deep into an online group or in a group of the others. He also said, if you don't have a small group of people who are walking alongside you and you're walking alongside of them, find one. Pray, study, eat, drink, mourn, and celebrate. Do it all to the glory of God. And then remember that you are not alone. What is God saying to you this morning? What are you going to do about it? Who are you going to share it with? I'm not a follower of Christ this morning. It means confessing that He is Lord and you are not. The Scripture says confess that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that He was buried, that He died on the cross, was buried, and came back to life. That you confess your sins and you say, I'm entrusting my life to you. And then share that with someone. You could put it on the online chat right now on Facebook. You can send us a message through our Connect phone number. But know an isolated follower of Christ is a defeated follower of Christ. It's our role as followers of Christ to come alongside you. If you haven't begun a a relationship with Christ, why don't you do so today? And if you have begun a relationship with Christ, do not live, as David said in his quote, a muted, comfortable call to come and be baptized and listen in one location. Could we be a community of faith that considers well, that spurs others on, that encourages to walk in the ways of Christ in the midst of challenges, and that comes together in unique ways? We're thankful that Jesus pursued us and gave his life so that we might be in relationship with him and be a part of his family. Won't you pray with me? Father, I do thank you that as we entrust our life to you, Father, that you do not leave us isolated or alone, that you come near, that you draw us to you, that you shape us through your word, your Holy Spirit, and through the relationships of those around us. Father, you know the frailty of our lives, and you know how individualistic we drive our lives so much. Father, convict us of individualistic freedom and shape us into a community of faith, your family that makes you known and that does life with each other, that comes alongside newbies in the ways of you, Father, and those that have walked with you for years. Father, give us the ability to cross generational lines and racial lines, socioeconomic lines, that we might build each other up in order that your name might be known. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your love, and your grace, for your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.